Philippians chapter 3, Paul starts out. Now, I remind you, Paul, some of you here hadn't been here on Wednesday night, Paul's in a jail cell. Paul is in a jail in Rome, and Paul has founded this infant church at Philippi. As he's gone away, he's wanting them to act as if he is present. He told them nothing makes him feel any better that they would be walking with the Lord in his absence. Paul's writing, he's thrilled that the church has grown spiritually enough that they can be conducting themselves according to the Bible, even though he's in jail. And so now he's been writing for some time. We've been dealing with this. He had saved that old Philippian jailer. He had saved Lydia, the seller of purple. And he had saved the little demonic girl that was full of the devil. And so they had started this early church at Philippi. So now in Philippians 3 and verse 1, he sounds like he's making a farewell letter. He says, finally. He says, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, isn't that amazing? He's sitting in a jail cell and he's telling you to rejoice in the world. You know what I found out? You can't rejoice in the stock market. You can't rejoice in your job. You may not have it tomorrow. You can't rejoice in temporal things. And I'm going to tell you, everything you can touch tonight's temporal. But by faith we can see the unseen things. It's not temporal. And oh my, he's telling us that we ought to rejoice in the Lord. I want to ask you something. What are you really rejoicing in tonight? What are you rejoicing in? What brings you rejoicing? Not happiness. Happiness has to do with happenings. But rejoicing. A joyful experience. Only joy comes from Jesus. And so, isn't it amazing that Paul's in a jail cell and he's telling them folks, listen, I want you to rejoice. A lot of what Brother Randall said, Brother Dennis preached this sermon one time. Brother Dennis said, I'm too blessed to be depressed. Listen, you're not going to shout every day of the week. Hard times is here. Harder times are coming. We're in the last days. But we that are saved, born again by the grace of God, we've got something truly to rejoice in tonight. Oh, how we're so blessed. It don't take you long to look down the road and find somebody worse off than me and you are tonight. And so Paul says, I want you to rejoice in the Lord. Do you hear me tonight? You've got to have the right kind of relationship to bring rejoicing. You must learn that where your joy will come from is from one place and one place alone. There's times that I have happiness in my children. And then other times I don't. There's some times that I'm just happy around my wife and sometimes I'm not. Can I get a witness from any of you henpecked boys tonight? Sometimes she has an off-color day and everything just ain't suiting her when she gets home. But aren't you glad that you got a Bible and you got a Holy Ghost lives in you that you can rejoice in the Lord tonight? You need to learn to have that kind of relationship where you can rejoice. Boy, if some of you could get a hold to when you fuss and fight in the house, run out in your barn and pray and rejoice in the Lord. And then you'd go back in and apologize and tell her you're sorry. Say amen right there. So he says this in chapter number 2. He said, not only do you rejoice in the Lord, I want you to beware of some things. He said, I want you to beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. I tell you something I've noticed in pastoring the church. You don't play with wolves. You shoot wolves. You don't feed wolves. You don't pet and pamper wolves, honey. You give them cotton poison in a hurry. Wolves are after sheep. You don't fool around with wolves. You put them in the road. You catch you a stick and you beat the fire out of a wolf. I ain't a wolf petter. I'm a little shepherd boy tonight. I deal with sheep. I ain't fooling with wolves.
Wolves will turn and rend you, and they'll pull your little lambs off, and they'll eat them. So he says, you beware of dogs and beware of evil workers. Let me tell you, honey, everybody totes a Bible. They ain't for Jesus. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision, them old religious people. Beware of that crowd. Beware of them. So I heard some of them talking about somebody was going to come and start coming to our church. And somebody said that goofy idea again. Well, ain't you heard you got to show your W-2 forms to that church? Lord have mercy, I'd hate to see some of our W-2 forms. That's that religious pharisaical crap. That's them that know nothing about the Holy Ghost that want to talk about somebody that knows about the Holy Ghost. That car show crowd ain't drawn here much. That cigarette smoking, hat wearing, short britches, little pee popping crowd come bumping up the steps. They don't fit too good here because you got a preacher that slobbers a little bit. Amen. Pharisaical crowd. And he says this, and have no confidence in the flesh. Boy, we've got a lot of confidence in us, don't we? Don't take you long, though. God back off you. He'll just show you how crippled we can get in a hurry. He said, like this, we're the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We must worship Him in spirit. Matter of fact, that ought to be the ultimate priority at this church house, is to worship Jesus in spirit and in truth. Did you know Jesus said if He'd be lifted high and lifted, He'd draw all men unto Him? It's our job to lift up Christ. Then it's our duty to go out in this world and let a light shine to a lost and a dying world. Get them under the sound of the gospel. Oh my. Then he says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, verse number 10, where I want to draw three thoughts out of tonight, I think we'll try to deal in simplicity. He said this, that I simply may know Him. Boy, what a blessing to know somebody like Him. He said, out of everything I've learned, I just want to know more about Him. Now, you may be acquainted with me, but you won't know me till you talk with me, until you get to know me. I believe some folks, they're a little bit acquainted with Jesus, but they really don't know nothing about Him. Paul said, my desire is that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. That's where I want to get into. I want to get in that realm, Brother Randall, what he's talking about. I want to get in this power of resurrection. This power that's in me tonight. This power that's in you, if the Holy Ghost lives in you, he said there's a power there to bring life to dead things. He said, I want to know the power of His resurrection. Look at this. That I may know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings. But we don't want no part of that, do we? Being made conformable unto His death. That's what I want to preach about tonight. Three quick things. Number one, our available power. Number two, our abundant fellowship. And number three, our apparent purpose. Oh my, how we have available power. He uses the word dunamis here. That I may know Him and the power. That word power is dunamis. You know, they pulled from the word dunamis our word dynamite. Has anybody ever seen a stick of dynamite go off? I was running with the wrong crowd one time, and in Tennessee, they had dynamite on the side of the road, and it was bad. Boys running around with nothing to do. see a little lockbox with a little hasp on it got dynamite wrote on it. That's a bad thing on a Friday night camp out. Somebody said, well, Daddy's got bolt cutters. Let's get rid of the lock. Step one. Step two, we cut the lock. Step three, he said, ha, there's blasting caps with this dynamite. And he said, I know how to set it off. So we got this great Friday night camp out idea. We went out to a pond. He pulled an old Ford pickup truck right to the edge of the lake, Brother Randall. And he throwed that stick of dynamite in the lake, and he had the wire. And he said, now, when I hit this battery, y'all better run. When he hit this battery, nothing happened. The Lord is my witness. That boy stripped his shoes off, walked in that pond with his foot, found that dynamite. He said, oh, there it is. He reached down and got it. He said, I put the cap on it wrong. And he put the cap on it, laid it back down, and waited out. And he said, now, y'all better run. And by the time he said run, he touched that battery and set that dynamite off. And it seemed like that it rained for 30 minutes. Said, preacher, what happened to you? The last time I remember, something hit me right here. And I seen a big flash of light, and I come to on my face. Dynamite. Dunamis. Great. Has anybody ever been around dynamite? Some of you know my wife's daddy. He's a big jokester. Well, they got in some dynamite on New Year's Eve back over here behind the church and got him a 5-gallon bucket, put him a couple sticks of dynamite in it, and they throwed a rope on top of a tree, and they lifted that thing up and lit it and tied it off and run. And it went off and it knocked treetops out. They called the law and said an airplane's crashed down in Sandy Flat. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, that's the kind of power that the Holy Ghost has got in us, that dunamis power of dynamite. He can take sinners and turn them by the grace of God tonight. Amen. Things that the world cannot do, Paul said there is power in His resurrection. Now men, did you know they're even taking and they're freezing mummies tonight thinking that scientists will find a way to raise men to life. But can I tell you, there's only one tonight that can raise the dead. And He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad one day He come to my grave and brought this dead man to life. Thank God I'm still a living tonight by the good grace. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. You say, what happened? He come by and put some dynamite in me and turned me from the direction I was going. Now they freezing me and thinking scientists have come up with a way to bring them back to life. But you hear me tonight, only Jesus can raise the dead. And oh my goodness, Paul said, I want to know something about this available power. I tell you tonight, he has touching power. In Acts chapter 9, if you want to know if you're saved tonight, ready to go to heaven, if you can line it out according to Acts chapter 9 and can line up with that passage, it'll give you a good indication if you're going to heaven or not. He said, Acts 9 verse 1, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him light from heaven. And look what the Lord said. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I thought he was beating on Christian. Let me tell you something. The folks is beating on you for the cause of Christ. They're not beating on you. They're beating on Christ tonight. So he said, who art thou, Lord? And any time any sinner wants to know who he is, he'll always show himself to be the Savior. He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecute. It's hard for you to kick against the prick. In verse 6, Holy Ghost conviction fell in on him, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And you'll wind up in verse number 11, just like Paul did, on Straight Street. He said, the Lord said to him, arise, go on the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Now, this available power, it's touching power. Let me tell you something. Don't say God can't. Just like what Brother Dennis said down there, we don't know the mind of God. God can, honey. And God will, and God has, and God's going to. And so God has great touching power. Acts 9, He has a great transforming power. He did not leave Paul alone. God will save you the way He got you, but He loves you too much to leave you that way. He's going to conform you into the image of His dear beloved Son. I can tell you a good way to know if you're saved tonight. It's a lot like what Brother Lee said. This temper gets out of bounds, but buddy, God's the temper check. When you come back down, there's the Holy Ghost, friend. And buddy, I'm telling you, He will not leave you alone. There's available power. There's touching power, transforming power. There's tremendous power. Look in Romans 5 and verse 8. Is anybody here tonight, don't want you to raise your hand, but is anybody here tonight, maybe you've got an addiction or maybe you've got something that you just can't get rid of yourself. Addictions are awful. I mean, there's alcohol addictions. There's drug addictions. There's tobacco addiction. Tobacco addiction is an awful drug tonight. Awful drug. There's pornography addiction tonight. Many different things that the devil hooks the children of God with. But did you know there's nothing in this old world that this word dunamis cannot overcome tonight. In Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 6, watch this. For when we were yet without strength, we had no strength. You say, Brother Ken, listen, I've heard this more than anything. The reason we don't get saved, the reason I don't get saved, because I can't live that. Join the I Can't Live It club. I can't live it either. But the one that lives in me lives it through me by the grace of God. This is what He said. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And don't you never forget that. I don't care how wicked somebody is. I don't care what they look like, honey. Jesus has got to catch the fish before He cleans the fish tonight. Who are we to say that God won't save them? Who are we to say they can't sit on a pew in our... Who are we to say our children can't socialize with that crowd that come to church? Who are we to be like... Who are we to be judge and jury? Who are we to think our young'uns is too good to play with us sinners on the front lawn of Liberty Bank? Who are we? Who are we? If it wasn't for the grace of God, that's where we all would be. I don't want my young'uns around that crowd. Well, He may take one from you, so you're willing to do anything He wants you to do. You better watch out playing God. When we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. I don't know many folk in here would have won a Sunday school award. You better remember where God got you from, honey. I woke up some nights, I didn't know how I got there when I woke up. By the grace of God, I ain't in hell tonight. By the grace of God, I ain't in. By the grace of God, you ain't in hell tonight. When we were without strength, what if that dynamite had blowed my goofy head off? I'd been in hell tonight. What about when I was a kid and fell off that tractor and my little cousin reached down and got me by the nape of the neck? It wasn't my cousin. God had a purpose for me. What about when I topped a hill in a 65 Chevrolet? Couldn't even get the doors open when we hit. What about when two shotgun muzzles flashed before my face? I ought to have been dead six times tonight. Honey, you think You think I don't appreciate that he died for the ungodly? I ought to be in hell screaming in my torments tonight. Because his love and his mercy. You say, preacher, I don't like that. Well, go get you a church that you like. Quit hanging around here. I don't like a church reaching that crowd, honey. You're in the wrong place tonight. I don't want them playing with my young. Then you go on down there, that snooty crowd won't preach to you. Go on down there where that little hireling's at, little Mickey Mouse sermons on Sunday. Go on down there where he's and she's at. We better realize we're old sinners saved by grace. We better realize our grandbabies better have a place to get saved one of these days. We better realize our little ones ain't got saved. We need to get them on the sound of the gospel tonight. I done found out them old boys and them old gals know where they been, get saved by the grace of God. Honey, they'll come to church on Wednesday night. Available power. Romans 5, verse 6, when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Preacher, I can't live it. He knows that. He knows that. He knows that. You know something? My wife made a statement one time I had to think about. She said, you know, I've never, when I failed, when I've let God down, I've never surprised God. Now, I might have offended God, but I ain't surprised Him. God knows everything about us tonight. God knows what makes you tick, what makes me tick. He knows every. He knows the recesses of our heart that we don't even know. Psalmist David said, Lord, search my heart. If there be any wicked thing in me that I don't even know about, show me, Lord. Honey, let me tell you something. If this available power was not in our life, we could not be a Christian tonight. Watch what he says. Available power. Then we see in not only Romans 5 and 6, but look in Ephesians 3 and 20. Ephesians 3 and 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Sounds like to me I've got available power. Why don't I use it? I'll give you a great analogy. Renee's daddy, this is something right here, the way the Lord's brought these things up. I didn't even think about it when I studied. A lot of times we'll come by and we're going to check on him, Brother Randall, and she'll say, Daddy ain't home. Ain't no lights on in there. And we'll go and we'll peep up in the door, Brother Rob. And all he's got is just a TV on. He can't even see the door. You know something? It ain't because he ain't got power run to that house. It's not because he don't have nice light. It's not because he ain't got a switch. It's just because he ain't reached up and turned it on. And that's the way we are in our Christian life. We need power to overcome sin, Satan, and self. But we won't reach up and grab a hold to the switch. You see what he says? This power that is in us, not on the church. We're dealing with available power in a Christian's life tonight. Look what he says. Verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let's stop right there. That covers anything we could ever think. You think, well, he can't save the town drunk. Yes, he can. He can't save my wayward girl. Oh, yes, he can. He can't save my wayward boy. Yes, he can. Oh, yes, he can. Look what he says. According to the power that worketh in us. Worketh in us. Available power. Now, let's look if we could in Romans chapter number 6 and verse 1 at this available power. Romans 6 And verse number one. Now, I want to ask somebody tonight, does anybody here have problems with the flesh? I lost my temper this week just like that. I didn't mean to, but I did. Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know those saying, Baptists, so cliche, once saved, always saved. Bible teaches once saved, always saved. Not once joined the church saved. Verse 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He's saying a lifestyle. He said, how are you telling me that you've died to sin? How come you're living in it? He said, you talking out of both sides of your mouth. You telling me you got saved? I had a man walked up to me and they said, so-and-so saved me. I said, you look just like something somebody'd save. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? He said, you said you got saved. You followed Him in believers' baptism. And as He was buried under the water and came up in the newness of life, He said, you're telling me that that old man has died and you still living in sin? What's your problem? Therefore, we're buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. For we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. All right, now that's where I want to get into tonight. This available power. That our old man is crucified with Him. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Does anybody realize you cannot commit suicide by crucifixion? You cannot kill yourself. Somebody's got to nail you on a cross. There's never been a fella that killed himself on a cross. You can't nail everything to cross and suffocate and die. You can't do it. We've got to ask Christ to crucify this old man of the flesh every day. Daily. This thing of a Christian walk is a daily walking experience. So watch you fall today. Get up, get forgiveness for it, and go on for the glory of God tomorrow. The devil would have you to lay in it. He says this, verse 11, likewise reckon or conclude or calculate yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12, look what it says, Christian. You're talking about power. You're talking about available power. Look what he says in verse 12. Let not, isn't that amazing? Let not sin reign or be king in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. In other words, he says, you ain't got to live in sin. He said, let not sin. Sin comes knocking at the door. You've got to yield to Christ instead of yielding to that sin. That old temptation's still going to come. You tonight, every what addiction you've got, don't you think for one second that demon of addiction will not come and present himself to you. You've got to turn him down by this dunamis power, by power of the gospel, by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that got you up out of the grave and saved you that glorious day. You've got to submit yourself to him. Look what he says in the next verse. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness and sin, but here it is, but yield yourselves unto God. When you feel that temptation come to you, you've got an option. You can yield to that sin, or you can yield and give right away to God of what He's wanting to do. And that power will be moved in your life. Our problem is when that temptation comes, is that we yield to that sin. And we know what our sins are. We know what our weaknesses are. And this is all, I've never seen it. Any time before it comes, the Holy Ghost lives in me, shows me it's about to happen. He said, with a temptation, He will always give you a way of escape. You think about this for one second. Any of you tonight that has ever fell into temptation of sin, you that are saved tonight, you had a way out, but you didn't grab the knob and get out. You cannot tell me that God did not give you a way to escape it. Some of you in debt over your head, Jesus didn't put that on you. You put that on you. You want to run with a crowd you don't need to be running with. That's why our country's in a mess tonight. And so He says, you don't have to be bound in sin. If there is one addiction on me tonight, it don't have to be. Because He says, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Look at that, Ephesians 3 and 20. You ought to underline that tonight. That power that worketh in us can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or even ask. You want to quit smoking? Trust the Lord for it. He can let you quit. Son, it ain't nobody here loved a Marlboro Light more than this preacher did. Praise God, I could have lit that thing. Two pulls on it, it's done. But David, there ain't a preacher nowhere loved better than a good dip of Copenhagen. Son, I pull that dip out of there. Some of you hooked on pornography tonight. You know something, even on, this is how strong the devil is. Brother Chris, how strong the devil is. In my study in the mornings, the first time I click on my Bible program, you know the first thing pops up? Right on the side, the devil says, click it. Now, I ain't going to crow too loud, and I ain't going to brag too long. But I'm going to say this, I ain't going to fool that clicker over there on that right side. I'm afraid it'll deal with me a lot more than I'm willing to deal with. I got enough troubles coming to me except me going after them. Now, there's no reason in our life as a born-again child of God that we don't have power to overcome anything in our life. That's worry. That's depression. One of the best preachers in America is filled with depression. One of my best friends, he's one of the most depressed men of God I've ever met. That's a demon of depression. Jesus said, and I'm going to tell you folks something tonight, and then I'm going to be done shortly. You can ask my wife a couple years ago, Brother Ryan, I don't know why. I can't even tell you what I was depressed about. But for about 6 weeks, I was about to have a nervous breakdown. I didn't know. Nothing was right. I was worthless. I was useless. The devil told me everything, and I got to listen. The church was bad. Things was going wrong. Nobody was coming back. Every family I had was leaving. My wife didn't love me. My children was bad. Job was awful. And I got so depressed. It was pitiful. And so I went to a family reunion. My siblings come to me and said, we got the same problems that's in our family. I said, really? Really? Oh, yeah, we all take medicines for it. Said, here's a doctor call. He'll give you a script. I said, I don't need a script. This Bible says there's power in me, and I'm fixing to find out how to get it. Now, you ain't going to get it running out yonder with that. And I'm not saying you that can take medicine tonight help you. God be the glory. Wonderful. But there is times that God has delivered me from things because I sought Him for deliverance. I believe tobacco addiction is one of the worst things ever been in my life. It was absolutely haunted me for years and still bothers me. Man, I can be out playing golf with somebody, Brother Dave, and they pull out a pack of Red Man. Son, Miss Sherry, my mouth just goes to water. You know, this is what I think, Miss Sherry. If I could just get one little chew, nobody would know about it. If I can just get one little chew, ain't no church member out here. I'll spit behind a pine tree. About my luck, four deacons will walk up on green number 9. How you doing, preacher? Good. That's about like me buying a lotto ticket. Sure as the world, by the time I'd buy the first, I'd look over my shoulder, there'd be 9 of you standing in line. You ever notice how God loves to embarrass the fire out of you? You ever notice how he just do it? And he'll use that to get to you. And then people get mad at the preacher because God uses him. Isn't that amazing? A lot of you think, well, you've been reading my mail, preacher. I ain't. No, I'm just listening to the Holy Ghost. You'll notice that's why I don't run around a lot of houses in this church. You'll think I'm meddling when I'm preaching. I don't get in no trouble back there with my two roosters. Available power. He says this. Watch this, Romans 6:14. Watch this. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Are lowered over you. Can I ask you tonight, what's sin? Sin is what's wrong for you. Sin is a trespass against the Word of God. The Bible says, a man that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it is sin. Can I ask you something? What's worse? A man living in adultery, knowing it's wrong and doing it, and God telling me to go witness to a man and don't do it, what's the worst sin? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law but under grace. Thank God for that. What then shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom, here it is, watch this. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death, Lord have mercy, or of obedience unto righteousness. Now let me tell you something, child of God, you ain't going to sin long and go unchecked about it. Let me show you what he says in the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, it's about chapter number 12. Chapter 12, Hebrews 12, verse number 6. You know what I've noticed? I can't do wrong and get by with it. Hebrews 12, 6. Listen, child of God. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. That means to discipline. And he scourgeth. You know what that word means? Flog. Means he's going to flog you, buddy. Look what it says. Every son whom he receives. I mean, if you're living like the devil and God ain't dealing with you and chastising about you, you ain't one of his youngins. Don't think for one minute you're going to heaven. Yeah, you'll make mistakes. Sure, you'll fall, but you will not have a lifestyle of sin after the Holy Ghost moves in you. I believe it with all of my heart. You know, the Bible teaches us so many things about sinning, about living for God. And aren't you glad that when we sin, we can get forgiveness for it? Aren't you glad of that tonight? Aren't you glad that we serve a God that when we sin, we can get forgiveness for it? Now look in 1 Corinthians 5:5, child of God. I want to show this with you. 1 Corinthians 5:5. There in that scripture I read last in the book of Romans, he said there's a sin unto death. And it is. 1 Corinthians 5:5. Paul's writing now. This is the most worldly church he ever wrote to. Things was going on that was so ungodly. It was a young man here in the church that was stepping out with his stepmother, committing adultery in the church, and they wasn't dealing with it. And so this is what Paul says. He says, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now don't you think God won't bring you home early? You think you ain't got responsibility? You say, well, God's so sovereign, he's predestined me to live. Well, let me ask you this. What about your responsibility, goofball? What if you go out yonder and lay down on that yellow line and trap? Don't you think that you agging on death? I tell you what you do. You think you Superman. Climb up yonder on that cross and jump off. You think you can't push things? We got responsibility. And so God chastens every son whom that He receiveth. Don't forget that we have available power. Aren't you glad we've got power in our life to overcome that? This is our problem. This is the nutshell right here. You with me? With this, go home. This is the real deal. We don't want to get over what's bothering us. We just say we do, but we really don't. I want to be saved. Well, you can be. You know the reason you won't get saved tonight? Because you don't want to be saved. I done found out when folk want to get saved, they can get saved. And when you want to quit something, you can quit it bad enough. You say, preacher, how have you stayed married nearly 30 years? Simple arithmetic, simple Bible philosophy. We wanted to be together more than we did to be apart. And you can look to flow all you want to. That ain't changed the fact. I done said that, and the Word of God teaches it. You that's been married 20 years plus know yourself. You had reasons to walk out. Anybody can quit. You got to want to stay together. You got to want to do things. You got to be willing to let the Lord help you. You can't run to church and go out in that same old devil crowd. Ain't going to work. I'm a saved man. You turned me loose 6 weeks in the wrong crowd. You wouldn't know this preacher. Well, you old Pharisee, I don't know you now. There was a member one time come here. He come right over at that chair and he kneeled down here and he said, preacher, you said something other night. Help me. That a preacher messed me up on one time. He said, if I got saved, I ought to not want to drink a beer. That ain't right. That ain't right a lick. He said, you told me you still crave some of them old things. Well, sure I do. He said, boy, you made me feel better, preacher. We're not perfect little angels with our little halos turned up and looking down our nose at everybody. When did we become the judge? The Bible's the Word of God. It ain't moved. It ain't going no place. It's going to stand when the world's a-burning. We have a cop-out for sin. Our little pet sins. Pet sin. Boy, it's quiet, and I hope I'm helping somebody because the devil's beating the fire out of me up here tonight. Available power. Abundant fellowship. Don't you think everybody's going to love you because you love Jesus? Look what he said, John 15:18. I'm closing down. John 15:18. John 15:18. Paul said that I may know him in the pain of his suffering. It's only a side about Jesus that you'll only experience when you suffer. And you know, as I was studying this tonight, this is what breaks me as a pastor's heart. Whether you believe this or not, I got a pastor's heart. And I didn't think I did, but I do. I'm never going to be able to go into evangelism because I got a pastor's heart. I do. But I want to tell you this tonight. You know what really breaks my heart about some of these families here that I love with my life? You got some stuff coming to you that you can't see tonight and you can't handle tonight. But he's going to allow it to come that only you may experience a fellowship with Jesus that only that pain and suffering can bring to your house. Right now you're hearing about it. But it's coming a time you're going to experience it. And you'll only know a side of Christ when you go to hurting. Paul said the fellowship of his suffering. He don't know how to fellowship with you and your riches. He never had none. He only knows about dying and about broke things and poor things and miserable things. He don't know how to fellowship with somebody sitting on top of the world. But you let somebody steal everything you got. You let one of your babies get out of the car and cry, "Daddy, I got cancer." You let an old boy walk in and walk out of your little girl's life and leave you in shambles. Then you'll find out that only Jesus can fellowship with you like that, only in a way that you can experience like that. Fellowship. And it breaks my heart to know some of my families that I pastor, you've got some bad nights coming to your house. But don't you forget, He is the Jesus that fellowships in your suffering. And Jesus said this, "If the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. But if you were the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Remember, underline that, verse 20. Jesus said these words, remember, "The word that I said to you, the servant's not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they'll keep yours also." Brother Dennis Hutchins, I don't know if he's here tonight. I say this, Brother Vince, because I experienced it in the corporate world. I experienced, you all know Brother Dennis ain't a more humble man in the country than Brother Dennis. Hey, ain't a more humble man nowhere. And I've seen him sit back and laugh at him being a Christian, making fun that he's a Christian. Let me tell you something. Don't you think for one minute when you get saved, the devil's going to let up. You're going to be persecuted if you go into heaven. You're going to have family walk off and leave you. Jesus did. Jesus had friends that wouldn't follow him no more. You're going to suffer some things if you follow this Jesus. But you just remember something. It's worth every mile of the way. I'd rather be a Christian tonight than anything I know. Paul said that I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering. There's available power. There's abundant fellowship. And number three, there's an apparent purpose. Look what he said back in that text, and then I'm done. I do want to give an altar call tonight, Miss Sherry, if you'd come play something for me, please. An apparent purpose. He said this, "Oh, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings." Being made. Do you see that? You ever notice that? Being made conformable unto his death. In other words, Paul said he's still working on me. Paul said, sitting down here in this jail cell, as close as I got to him, he said, "I ain't arrived." He said, "I'm being made every day of my life more like Jesus." There's an apparent purpose. Do you need a purpose tonight? You need a purpose to live? You need a purpose to die? I'm glad Jesus still saves old sinners. We have an apparent purpose. He said, being made conformable to his death. We're to have an image of his death. We're to have an image of his life. As Miss Sherry plays, I want to ask something. The day you got saved, are you more like him tonight than you was then? I wonder if there's something in your life tonight that's bothering you, that you really need the Lord to manifest this power to you in your life.
Maybe you're here tonight and you've never been saved by the grace of God. But you'd like to be saved, but you don't know how to be saved. Let me ask you this. Is God dealing with you inside? Is He troubling you about where you're going to spend eternity? Has He troubled your heart, your spirit? He's wanting to do a work in your life. Won't you come and surrender your heart to Him, your life to Him tonight and say, "Dear God, save me a sinner. Make me a new person. Give me this power in my life that I can live out of this world that I'm a living. God, help me. God, I'm saved. I've got problems I'm struggling with. Give me this power in my life." Tonight, as my sister plays, open this altar. Whatever you need, you come. I don't know what you may need tonight, but I can tell you this, the Lord knows all about it. And I can tell you this, the Lord loves you, that I know about. He loves you tonight. And I know if you want to be saved, you can be. But you'll have to trust Christ to save you tonight. You'll have to trust Jesus to do that for you in your life. Or you'll never be saved. You've got to be willing to pick up that cross and follow Him.